Hello and welcome to the Decibel Beast Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and wow, the Vindicators have fucking problems, don't they? And with me, I have...
I'm Alex. I have nothing weird to say this week.
And...
I'm walking up full of chocolate and wool.
A chocolate what now?
What?
I said I'm full of chocolate and wool.
Oh, whoa. Like, whoa.
Finger near nigga asshole like, whoa. We never speak of that song. Such a dark time. But yeah, episode 47. Three more until the big 5-0. And about another 3 weeks. Where's the time flying? So, how have things been going with y'all recently?
Pretty good, all things considered. Had a fun little weekend. Although, God, it's been humid and raining pretty much nonstop. It's unbearable to go outside. I can't imagine what the people at the golf tournament here in town had to deal with. Golfing in 90-degree humid weather with rain.
Well, to be fair, I mean, that's kind of what they deserve. They were golfing, after all.
Yeah.
What? Have you ever known anybody who golfs who's a decent human being? Not that I've ever met. 100% of golfers are assholes.
Okay, you have a point.
Damn, you're right.
I know I'm right. Don't question me, fools.
Yeah. And I also learned this past weekend, there are a lot of Nazi apologists in the world, aren't there?
Oh, boy.
Just as many as there are actual fucking Nazis. I did hear a couple of them got fired from their jobs, though, so, you know. I like when bad things happen to bad people.
Yeah. Where is Brad Pitt when we need him?
1,000 Nazi scalps!
Where should we go Stiglitz at?
And, you know, we gotta get Eli Roth, too.
Ah, yes.
Okay, he can be useful this time.
Yeah, man, the bear Jew. So, what about you, Mark?
Let's see, not much. I finally got some shit done. At least writing-wise, I finally got a chapter done. So now, I ain't gotta write no more because I'm taking a two-month break of that shit.
Nice.
And also, it's been either raining, it's wet and hot. It smells like ass.
So what like you're hot. Saying is you're experiencing a wet, hot American summer.
Oh boy!
Boo!
You can't see it, but I'm doing the pointing thing with a big dumb smile. Hey, look! I saw my opportunity. I went for it. What do you want from me? But, you know, good to take a break, you know. Maybe it'll get the creative juices flowing again, and, you know, when you plow through a bunch of work, it's nice to just relax.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As for me, been making some progress on some various personal checklists of mine. First off, I finally finished binging the second season of Twin Peaks, its original run at least. So now I just have to watch Firewalk with Me, and then I can finally get to the fucking current Showtime run. And I could finally be as delayed on the what-the-fuck reactions as a lot of people who probably haven't seen the show yet.
Like me.
It's a good show. If you ever find, like, I don't know, time to binge shoot, like, 30, 45-minute episodes.
I work all the time. I don't have time for that.
Oh, but you have time to spend money on anime special editions. Yee.
Yes, but not as much as I used to.
I also managed to clear through some video games on my backlog. Fucking Resident Evil 6, that piece of shit. But this isn't the training stage. I don't have time to go on a John-style rant about that. Lollipop Chainsaw, which, fun, but shorter than I was expecting. You know, good old trashy fun time. And, of course, I'm currently through Resident Evil 7, which, holy fucking shit, this is one of the most stressful goddamn experiences I've ever had in my life. And I mean that in a good way, of course. I like Resident Evil 7.
Right.
Fully Resident Evil 6 could fucking take a lesson to the goddamn fucking... Sorry. I also managed to get back down to the theaters. Finally got around to Atomic Blonde. again, pretty satisfying action film. Not as densely packed with action as the all the promos and shit made it expect, but it still has some pretty, you know, grisly elements to it, especially that fucking stairway fight scene. One of the all-time great single-shot action scenes. That must have been a fucking pain in the ass to film and coordinate.
Probably.
Yeah, looks like it.
But, you know, all due efforts, everyone involved, and Charlize Theron, assuming not a stunt double, she did all that shit herself in that movie, right? Looked like it.
I have no idea.
And, of course, some pretty excellent music, use of music here and there, although I'm still trying to figure out where exactly that cover of Ministry Stigmata came from. It sounded like it was Marilyn Manson. I didn't get a good look at the credits, though. But yeah, pretty fun. Now, I just gotta see whatever the hell else is playing soon. But, that's basically about it on my end. And, with nothing else to say, we should jump right into the new song discussions. So, as always, there will be a playlist of all these songs down in the descriptions. If you want to follow along with us and listen, by all means, go right on ahead and then jump into conversation with us in the comments. Or call me an idiot who makes bad jokes and has dumb hair. Whichever comes first.
And terrible memes, don't forget that.
Fuck you, my memes are the dankest. You don't even fucking meme, dude. Where the hell do you get off?
Talk to me when you have the best teeth in the game. Then I'll consider your opinions valid.
Oh, like your teeth are any better.
I have the worst teeth in the game, and I know it.
Marks debunked the best teeth years ago. But that's enough for Fantano memes. Starting right from the top, Straight from the Path. As we mentioned previously, new album Only Death Is Real coming out September 8th, and they've released the second single from the album, following up on the rather controversial Goodnight Alt-Right with a track titled All Day and a Night, which, I gotta be honest, not really feeling this one as much as the past one. I mean, there are some, you know, self-righteously cathartic lyrics in there, primarily pertaining to the bullshit of, like, the American fucking prison complex and shit, but the actual beat itself is just kind of, like, standard as all hell. Like, it doesn't have, like, that cool kind of bluesy swing groove that Goodnight did, and the breakdown here isn't as, you know, fist-fightingly hard, and I think that kind of has to do with, like, the guest vocals here. It features Brian from the band Knocked Loose, and yeah, his vocals just don't have the punch necessary to, you know, carry the breakdown here. It's not a bad song, but it definitely feels like it's a step down from the previous single.
I only have one thing to say about this. What is this metalcore Rage Against the Machine thing I'm hearing?
Yeah, you wouldn't be alone on that. A lot of people seem to be down on the last two or three Straight from the Path albums for adopting, like, Rage Against the Machine worship instead of the more, I guess, complex, sort of mathcore-ish / hardcore stuff of their prior albums. I mean, they do fine with it. I don't mind it all that much. But, yeah, this one's kind of just there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but if I want Rage Against the Machine, I'll just go listen to them.
Or Prophets of Rage.
Yeah, sure.
Or Zach's solo album, which, that reminds me, did that come out already? I don't know.
No. I was thinking about that the other day. When is that album going to come out?
Good question. We'll just wait and see. And, of course, continuing onward, at this point, I'm pretty sure that Full of Hell's Trumpeting Ecstasy is probably going to make my top 5 for the year. It still remains one of the most blisteringly intense and probably most innovative songwriting-wise grindcore records I've heard this year, or even in the past 5 years, probably since, fuck, the last Pig Destroyer album, now that I think about it. But it seems like Trumpeting Ecstasy isn't the only trick that Full of Hell has up their sleeves, as, much like with 2016, later on this year, they're going to be releasing a second collaborative album with Louisiana experimental doom metalers The Body. This one coming out November 17th, and it's titled Ascending a Mountain of Heavy Light. And they've released the first single from the album, Earth is a Cage. Now, starting right from the top, yeah, this definitely does sound more like a Full of Hell, The Body collaboration once again. You know, you kind of have like this sort of pounding, almost kind of KMFDM-ish, you know, kick drum just kind of bouncing in your senses. And then once all the, you know, furious drums and loud guitars kick in, you know, these just walls of noise that kind of sound like these just digitized guitars, these electronic, you know, just saturations all throughout. Not to mention what kind of sounds like this fast triplet blast beat thing going on. And that's just kind of the first half. But then once it sort of gets into the back half of the song, that's where more of the Body's own influence definitely starts to take over. You know, there's kind of this big, sparse, doomy segment where there's sort of like this, a lot of reverb on the vocals. There's just like these pockets of static that are kind of like building and kind of filling in all the nooks and crannies. And then, of course, the vocals from the Body, which just sound like, you know, a dying parrot. It's a solid track overall. I'm definitely looking forward to see what these two pull out of their sleeves this time. I wonder if this album's going to have another Leonard Cohen cover like the last one did. Yes, that actually happened.
Well, I'm glad you have all the details because I don't. Well, I needed to wake up today somehow, and this song did the trick. Lots of noise, lots of dissonant chords, all in your face, like an aggressive beatdown of a Nazi. It's always wonderful.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's almost like getting maced in the face. Anyway, moving on to the next song on the list, the band Satyricon. They have a new album coming out September 22nd, and they've unveiled the title track from that album, Deep Calleth Upon Deep, which, as the Metal Sucks article speculates, is probably the metal equivalent of game recognized game, granddad, and you looking kinda unfamiliar right now. Sorry, I had to work that reference in. But, yeah, Satyricon, not one of those bands I know a whole lot about. Hell, this might actually be, at least as far as my memory, the first time I've ever listened to a Satyricon track, and I kind of liked it. I wasn't sure how this compares in, like, the grand scheme of things, obviously, but, you know, you listen to the intro, there's kind of this, you listen to the guitars of it, it kind of has, like, this almost kind of bluesy note progression there, almost kind of like an old school Black Sabbath track, or like, I don't know if y'all ever listened to Edge of Sanity, there's kind of that influence there. And then you listen to like the rest of the song, you know, there's some sort of black metalish influences, but there's also a lot more like, I guess, melodic death metal, if you want to say it like that. Again, kind of like Edge of Sanity. The drums on this thing are really interesting because there's a lot of really almost kind of improvised Black Sabbath-esque tom grooves in there. Like, it's almost like it's switching up the fills and the beat, like, every now and then while still keeping something kind of consistent with it. And there's also these kind of really great haunting ethereal vocals mixed in there. It's a solid track. I'm not sure how likely I am to get to the Satyricon backlog anytime soon, but it's something I'm probably going to get to eventually.
So, this is a black metal band with production value and comprehensible vocals?
I know, right? What a concept!
Yeah, what you were saying about the drums earlier, I noticed there's like little to no post-processing done on those drums. It sounds very natural, like it's just like they're just raw stems singing from the microphones themselves, which is pretty cool. And I do like that they are sounding like real drums, because, well, they are real drums. I can tell. Those are real toms. Those are real kick drums. Those are real snares.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, as far as production, I almost kind of say this reminds me of, like, you know, recent Goat Horror releases, where it's not, like, processed to hell. It just kind of sounds like they just plugged in and then went. Like, not just in the drums, but across all the instrumentation.
Yeah. Probably with the four mic method. I saw Glenn Fricker demonstrate a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that one where he's doing, like, the mic across, like, you know, through each speaker. That's an interesting technique.
Mm-hmm. But I can actually get into this. A black metal band I can actually enjoy? I'm surprised.
Always a nice surprise there. And now, moving on to non-metal stuff, we, of course, have the past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program, number 13, if I recall correctly. This one coming from our friend Lord Raja, who actually toured down here on Friday, and I fucking missed it. I fail.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Go ahead and take this one. I'll chime in later.
Okay, so the track here is called Zoro, which, wait, the name after the One Piece character? Anyway, listen to this track. Got this spacey sort of electric hip hop production, which I was honestly digging for the vibe. As it builds up, then it went to the beat. It's like, oh, this shit is like some. This shit almost sounds like something I hear from Clamps Casino or some shit like that. At least in my ears. I don't know who's doing the rapping. I mean, I heard speaking to somebody, but I didn't really get whose name was that. I kind of forgot. But that part of it was decent as well. I really have this track. I really like the whole, you know, deep electronic spaced out hip hop vibe of this. Especially from Lil Ross, this is definitely good.
Yeah.
I'm liking this shit.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, when you think about what he's done sort of previously. This is kind of one of the more straightforward jams he's done. You have those spacey, kind of aquatic beats. You got the, again, if I may invoke another Anthony Fantano meme, trap-flavored drums, and then that weird, you know, really deep pitch-shifted rap vocal. I mean, it works as a solid straight-up banger, though, I will admit.
Yeah, it's definitely, it might be one of my top favorites so far, coming 13 tracks in.
Yeah, you know, but we still got however many tracks left to go, so stick a pin in this one, you know, solid one.
Hmm?
And now, speaking of music that isn't solid in the slightest, sorry, Mark, I had to fill space somehow.
I know, but all right. So yeah. Anyway, this next track comes from ASAP Ferg himself. You know, part of ASAP Mob, and of course, got a new album coming out called "Still Striving." Which, okay, I guess he's now like this new shit. I figure he's going back to his usual style because I know his last album, "Always Strive and Prosper," basically ASAP, had mixed a negative reception. I mean, look at that talent. He gave him a 2 out of 10 on his first up list
last year.
Yeah. Anyway, this new track is called Nasty, parentheses, Who Dat. It features none other than the Migos.
Wait, Who Dat? Like that boy who him is? Sorry, I still have that album.
Oh, I wish. Listen to this track is like, okay, I'm going to listen right now, okay, I can mess with ASAP Ferg a bit, but I don't like his I don't like when he harmonizes because he don't sound good in here. And the more I listen to this track, the more I figure, where I heard that course before? He said, yeah, who that? You got that from a song from the late 90s, a rap song that I'm pretty sure most people forgot about. A song called Who That by somebody named JT Money. You wondering who? Yeah, exactly. You know who the fuck he is. And this song, out of that, it's holy fuck, it's boring. I tune out listen to this the first time. Like ASAP Ferg, he say some shit, it's man. And Migos are basically just Quavo and Takeoff. Yeah, they often do it. They say let's sit this other member off somewhere. They're not really all that special here either. My God, the lyrics are boring. The beat is boring as shit. It does like something you hear from early ASAP Ferg, from what I recall, but this track is just very forgettable.
Yeah, this.
I don't care to go back.
Yeah, this kind of sounds like the type of rap banger that would get big in the second half of the 2000s for some reason. I just kind of hear that in the beat, and you know, all the verses just flow in one ear and out the other. But there is one line I made sure to take note of, and I don't know if it's Quavo or the other Migos guy, whoever the fuck he was. I don't know their other fucking names. But there was one line that's like, beat that pussy, eh? Mike Tyson fight. Did that, you know, fucking hashtag rap thing where they skip out on the fucking transitory phrase to actually be grammatically coherent. What the fuck is with you people? Guys, learn some basic grammar shit. We already got to deal with this with Alessia Cara. We got to deal with it with you too.
Fuck it.
Ew. Okay, all I know is, like, I know it's I'm coming, like, this week.
So it says. Oh, it could always shift, but that's what the date is for now.
Yeah. You at least, but at least have some good shit. I mean, at least your last album, you had one good banger on that last album you did, but you better at least, you know, have some good shit.
You know, now that I think about it, is that supposed to be, like, sexy in any way? Beat pussy like a Mike Tyson fight? Wouldn't that put her in the hospital?
Oh, yeah, and
would. It's not like we're talking, like, doesn't matter, had snoo-snoo here. This is real life, man. This ain't a fucking Futurama episode. That's all I'm saying. But, moving on to the last song this week. You know, it feels like it's been a little bit of a while since Queens of the Stone Age dropped the lead single from their upcoming August 25th release, Villains, you know? Suspiciously big gap of time. Maybe that's just me, right?
Maybe.
But yeah, that first single, which was, you know, kind of a very poppy, danceable jam, I was kind of eh on. But now we have something that's a little more close to home, their second single from this album, The Evil Has Landed. And this one is just a straight 6 minutes of really just tightly written psychedelic rock. Lots of really weirdly produced, tightly interlocked kind of guitar leads. You know, there's that really steady drum groove. And even a kind of cool part about, like, 3 minutes in, where there's a lot of, like, high-pitched staccato chords playing these very fast, almost kind of like a 30-second note strum rhythm, and the drums are kind of, like, interlocked with pretty much every hit of the guitar chords, even as it's still maintaining its own, you know, drum groove. It's just a really tight display of, you know, rock instrumentation, just all these musicians being, like, on par with each other. I have no clue what the fuck the lyrics are about, but as usual, that's Josh Homme for you. And then, of course, there's the obligatory sick-ass beat change that clearly only the most sophisticated of songwriters know how to pull off. I'm only being partly sarcastic there, by the way. It's about, like, 5 minutes in, the song, you know, slows down a bit. There's a small, almost kind of like 5 or 10 second vocal break, and then it shifts into this more driving, you know, more fast-paced beat that's almost kind of reminiscent of something like Go With The Flow or Feel Good Hit of the Summer. And if it's throwing back to songs like that, then I absolutely have no problem with that. Those are probably, like, two of the best Queens of the Stone Age songs, so you gotta be doing something right here. And I gotta tell you, after that last single, this one is definitely a major step up, and now I'm really, you know, more looking forward to Villains.
Yep, pretty good song, but it's definitely a product of the Mark Ronson production. It just feels a lot like a pop song. I'm not saying that to take it down a few pegs. It's a good song, but it has that kind of, I don't want to say synthetic, but that's the only word that comes to mind. That kind of production value to it, especially with the drums. What's with that very, well, again, the word that comes to mind, synthetic drum pattern at the start?
You know, I guess I didn't really notice it all that much. Probably because, like, at least with The Evil Has Landed, it's not written, it may be produced but like a pop song, sure, but it's not kind of written like a pop song. Whereas, again, previous single, yeah, that one, it was written like a pop song, and so the poppy production became more evident. You gotta get what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it just kind of, like, slid off me, but, you know, if there are more songs like this on the album, then, again, this is probably going to be another, you know, good one. Queens of the Stone Age, in my opinion, have never released a bad album. They've always been pretty consistently great, so I'm hoping for this one to be another slam dunk, home run, score in the goalpost of hockey or soccer or whatever the fuck sports metaphor I haven't used yet.
Well, we'll find out next week, along with literally every other album coming out.
Oh, but we'll get to that when that episode happens.
Oh, that's a lot of shit. Holy shit.
But yeah, that basically covers all the new song discussion. Not a whole lot, but, you know, there was still some good stuff in there. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got the news. So, see you in a bit. And we're back. So, we got five news topics here. First of which, it's kind of sad to know that the time of the Dillinger escape plan is coming to an end. Even sadder now that we have a definitive date on it. Yes, it appears the MathCore Titans have announced the date of their very last show before, you know, disbanding for good and going on to other shit. Their final show will be played on Friday, December 29th at Terminal 5 in New York City. The event will be opened by the band's Daughters and, oh my god, Code Orange. I will never escape this name. But yeah, speaking about their choice of location, frontman Greg Pucciato even said, "For me, in terms of shows, New York has always been one city on a short list of them, where every Dillinger show felt like a homecoming. Maybe it's the proximity to Jersey, maybe because we're all East Coast natives, maybe largely because it was the location of my first show with the band back in 01. So many incredible shows, unforgettable memories on and off stage, and familiar faces both backstage and in the crowd." Yeah, definitely a New York show is a pretty optimal choice for a very final farewell, so it seems.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fine venue, too. It's basically like a dance club with balconies, and it works well for concerts.
I take it you've been there before?
No, but I've seen a lot of concert footage from there, like the Coheed and Cambria Never Ender concerts.
Oh, damn, those guys are good live. Yeah, that must have been a good venue.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyone want to give me money for this, please?
I will when you give me the money you still owe me.
Look, we've been over this. I'm going to give you the $60 I owe you when it turns out I'm wrong about the Tool album.
That's a dog over there.
Okay, there actually was a dog barking somewhere.
Oh, wow.
At least I think that was a dog. Yeah, that was probably Wanda. She's a very good dog. But yeah, this is... Man, I'm going to miss this band so much. God, seriously, someone send me money so I can go to this, please. But yeah, we got to move on to the other show, or I guess rather, festival announcement. Tyler, the Creator, has posted the 2017 lineup for his Camp Flog Gnaw Carnival. Of course, taking place October 28th and 29th in Exposition Park in Los Angeles, California. And of course, this poster is a bunch of signs pointing in weird directions. Seriously, I don't understand the directions this is going here. Who's playing when? This is confusing graphic design. Help me out here.
I don't know. I guess this is 2 days because, like, whoa, there they are. There's the guests. There's a lot of them.
I'm sure we'll probably find out the list next month, but care to run down the lineup, sir?
Yes, okay. Of course, you got Tyler, oh, no shit. You got him there. And of course, you got other, you know, Odd Future Associates. You got Earl Sweatshirt. You got Sid the Kid. You got her group, The Internet. And you got, you know, people like The One Genesis, Haji Beats, Mike G, Left Brain. Plus, you got other people coming in, too. You got Rex Orange County, Vince Staples, ASAP Rocky, Solange, Migos. Migos. Six Flag, or Black as, yeah, you know what, fuck it, his name is Six Flag, even though he calls himself Black.
Six Flag, just like Deadmau5.
Hey boy.
You got Denzel Curry, you got Brockhampton, got 2 Chainz, you got Kid Cudi, got a lot of Del Rey.
One of these things is not like the other.
I felt Alex wincing, that was palpable.
You got Willow and James Smith.
Well, I guess someone has to help him perform Pothole.
And we got Taco.
Taco. Oh yeah, Taco. You forgot about Taco.
Oh yeah. So, shit. Oh god. All right. And then we got, let's see, Steve Lacy. Alice in Wonderland. Kamea. Little Yachty. You got Mac Miller, Kalani, Justice, Khalees. I've run a while. And I think that's all names I can recognize, at least, unless somebody else wanted to point out some shit I missed.
I actually want to point out two here. One, there's the hardcore punk band Trash Talk, who I actually saw them live once downtown. They put on a fucking insane live show. It's the most crammed I've ever seen Churchill's Pub filled, and I got slammed by like five, you know, moshers and crowd surfers, including one guy who I'm pretty sure nailed me in the boys.
Ow. Ow.
Remember, crowd killing is not cool.
Yeah.
We can't join the show, not beat a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that painful. I mean, it still hurt, but, you know, I wasn't hospitalized or anything. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you know Trash Talk. They're the only... Well, they used to be on Odd Future Records. Hell, Tyler, the Creator, appeared on their album 119. And, of course, Trash Talk also appeared on Wolf. Remember, Mark, this is the same band that provided backing vocals on Trash Wang. Where do you think the trash came from?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Trash Wang. I need to go listen to Wolf.
And the other name I want to point out, and I only know this one tangentially, Mild High Club. I only recognize this name because these guys are actually collaborators on, you know, one of the big releases from August 25th, Sketches of Brunswick East, the upcoming third studio album from the band with the ever so catchiest of names, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh yeah, that girl you're saying is very strange, fascinating name.
I'm sorry, that name is just so much fun to say, so I had to say
it. I know, King Gizzard and the... I'm fucking it up now, you know what, never mind.
Hey, let's be honest, at least it's a name that makes more sense than Six Lack. Or Amine, or the Double XL Grilled Stuffed Burrito from Taco Bell.
Hey now, don't you go this and that, it's fucking amazing.
I miss when they had specific variations instead of just the one burrito, but that's going on a tangent. But yeah, also there's plus special guest, the greatest rapper of all time, clearly.
Indeed.
Yes, although I'm guessing that's what's going in, like, because you look at the actual poster, there's kind of like a blank spot in one of the signs.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, whose name goes there?
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, you could probably say... Who dat boy? Yeah. Sorry, I keep referencing that. It's a fucking catchy hook, goddamn, really.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't blame you, it's catchy.
But yeah, this looks like going to be a pretty fun festival. I think overall more enjoyable names than bad names.
Mm-hmm. You got some good names.
Yeah, pretty much.
You got some odd names out. And then you got Lil Yachty.
You know, I will say I'd be shocked for Lana Del Rey, but then again, I forget. I think she always collabs with some hip hop people. I mean, how she made a song album with A$AP Rocky and Playboi Carti.
Yeah, plus weren't Lana and Tyler at each other's throats over who would have the number one album that week?
Oh yeah,
I guess they must have made amends.
Yes. Wait, who got number one album? She did.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
But, you know, that's Camp Flogna.
Yep.
Man, I'm probably going to be broke that October, so I can't go. Fuck!
Like, number two.
But let's move on from stuff that's cool to stuff that's a mistake.
Oh, God.
You know what they say. You don't know what you have till it's gone. Unless you're Fox, in which case you try to destroy your old creations. So, it seems like Fox is launching a new reality singing competition... possibly sometime next year, called The Four. And this has been acknowledged by their CEO, Dana Walden, as more or less them trying to compete with ABC's revival of Fox's own American Idol.
This is not the first time Fox has decided to make a ripoff of a popular game show. Remember when NBC launched The Voice and they countered it with The Choice?
What?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Well, it was a blind date kind of game show with the same exact style of The Voice with the chairs and all that kind of stuff. It was really stupid.
What the hell?
Yeah, but see, that's one thing if you're trying to directly compete with a show from another network. But this is Fox trying to more or less slay a beast of its own creation. That's almost kind of funny to me.
I wonder if Mark Burnett is producing this.
Is there a producer credit listed here?
Nope.
It
I wouldn't be
surprised if Mark Burnett was producing this, like he's produced every other Fox ripoff game show.
But yeah, as for this show, according to the format, this is, and apparently it adopts this format from some kind of an Israeli show, okay. Apparently this is going to be sort of the reverse of the American Idol formula, where instead of taking, 20 or so singers and paring it down to, the single best for a lucrative industry career, our show begins where the others end, as said by CEO Dana, with four finalists pre-selected from auditions by a panel of industry experts. The singers will have to fend off weekly challenges from newcomers trying to replace them. Viewers who believe they have the goods can upload an audition video and possibly go from sitting on their couch one week to competing the next.
This is so cringy.
This is, I'm going to be honest. This is probably going to be a train wreck of a show, and it's the kind of train wreck I think I want to sit through all the way to the end.
Okay, and I love how they added what it said. It's like Game of Thrones with better singing and less nudity. That's not making people want to go watch the show where you said less nudity.
Unless
wait, hold up here. So it's like Game of Thrones. I'm sorry, is this like the television network equivalent of the Dark Souls of blank?
Unless there are going to be flying dragons and incest, don't compare your show to Game of Thrones.
Look, just because you both have Ed Sheeran at some point doesn't mean it's a legit comparison. Oh, man, this is... All I have to say to Fox is, I don't know, good luck, I guess. Maybe when this thing eventually fails, you'll fill the time by just giving Seth MacFarlane another TV show.
Please don't.
I don't know, man. Orville looks okay, I guess. But, moving on from television network nonsense to a bit of interesting chart news. So, a couple weeks ago, Arcade Fire dropped their newest album, Everything Now, which released to rather mixed reviews. That's putting it mildly. I heard people talking some mad shit about this.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that didn't stop sales. They were able to sell enough to, peak at number one on the charts. Which, makes sense. It's Arcade Fire and all. They're still probably the biggest name in indie rock right now. But, according to this past week's Billboard charts, Everything Now has been dethroned. And guess who took the throne again at the top of the charts this week?
I got.
Kung Fu Kitty! Yes, it appears motherfucking Kendrick Lamar himself has reclaimed the top of the charts with his 2017 release, Damn. Which I guess apparently has been, popping on and off of the album charts for, I guess, a few times. Because according to the story here, this is like the fourth time it's been a chart-topping album.
Yep, I know. It's been doing well at the top 10 for a lot of weeks. It's like that's actually selling really well.
Yeah, the last time it was top of the charts was May 20th, which was approximately 13 weeks ago. And according to the article here, it's apparently the longest gap between weeks of the number one album for any singular album in over 4 years or so. Although it's worth noting that it's the second lowest weekly total for any number one album since 2014, with about 47,000 units sold, which, damn, is music really that stiff this week? Nothing big came out of anything?
Let's see.
Not really.
I guess the top 10's rounded up by, let's see, Brett Aldridge, DJ Khaled, Meek Mill, Now 63. How many motherfucking Nows they gonna make?
I don't know, but I can't wait until they get to 69.
Okay, you got, they round up by that, 21 Savage, Ed Sheeran, Imagine Dragons, SZA, no, TDE, person, right, and Khalid. So, well, so I guess that rounds up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, far out of the top 10.
Yeah. Wow, that came and went fast. Although, Kendrick Lamar is probably going to lose his throne again once the new charts come in, because pretty much everyone is expecting that the new Kesha album, Praying, is probably going... No, wait, Rainbow. Why do I keep fucking up the title of that album? Rainbow. Shit. But yeah, Rainbow, it's probably going to be, the number one album, which I wouldn't mind. It was actually a pretty solid pop album, all things considered. And then, you know, it's probably going to get reclaimed by Kung Fu Kenny again. Rise from the grave. And then maybe you'll finally give us Damnation already, you bastard.
Speaking of rising from the grave.
Yeah. Our last story this week. A thing that, you know, I guess it's appropriate I've been playing zombie-based games this past week, because is SoundCloud dead or not? I can't keep up at this point.
Yo.
It's not dead, and it's not alive. It's a zombie.
So it's me.
So I guess you're saying it's mostly dead or slightly alive.
So it's me, a blasters.
Well played, sir. But yeah, as it turns out, SoundCloud has actually managed to accrue some new funding that'll keep it alive for the foreseeable future. The Rain Group, a boutique merchant bank, joined with a Singaporean-based investment company, Temasek, to infuse the company with an investment of approximately $170 million. In addition, the company has seen some new executives take place, perhaps most notably former Vimeo CEO Kerry Trainor succeeding the company's founder Alex Leung as CEO of SoundCloud, and another Vimeo former executive, Michael Wiseman, now named as SoundCloud's chief operating officer. Of course, Leung and SoundCloud co-founder Eric Walforce are still with the company, Walforce being the chief product officer and Leung being the chairman of SoundCloud's board. And, wait, Vimeo? Is it still around?
Do people even use it?
It is. Yeah.
Sorry, I know it's a little bit of a tangent, but hot damn. But yeah, I'm kind of curious as to, okay, so we had founders of Vimeo, which was, you know, like a sort of paid service for a lot of people to get their short films out there. Hell, I know a friend of mine and a lot of her fellow classmates over at SCAD use it as an outlet for their student films, I think. So obviously, you know, it was somewhat popular there. I'm kind of curious as to what this is going to mean for SoundCloud going forward and how the Vimeo experience, or at least what these two guys know from their time at Vimeo, is going to impact SoundCloud going forward.
This is just putting a band-aid on a flesh wound. You can give money all you want, but if a service is going down the drain, it's just going to be a matter of time before it shuts down.
Look, I'm telling you, what they just need is more fire-ass mixtapes.
Yeah, that's what they need.
I'm telling you, man, what else do we have SoundCloud around for? But yeah, I guess to everyone who was worried that SoundCloud was going to go away, you have nothing to worry about now, I guess. I'm kind of curious, did Chance have anything to do with this?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, he was the one who said he had, like, a fruitful call with the CEO and then said SoundCloud was here to stay, and then, you know, fucking the CEO was all like, oh, no, yeah, we're here. I'm enthusiastic about shit. I'm still not going to say anything about those employees that I let go, including the one guy who apparently I fired 2 weeks before they actually meant to start their job here, even though, you know, they sold their house and everything to be here. Sorry, but I'm so curious about that. Dude! Okay, assuming that this actually lasts them at least another year or two, you fired people for nothing, man. You better hire those motherfuckers back, man.
At least give me money, you send me out in the streets.
Yeah, life is strange. But on the bright side, at least me and Tyler could finally drop our mixtape in December. Oh, but that would be telling now, wouldn't it? All I'll say is, get to work on those beats, Alex.
If you put that up and SoundCloud dies the month after, I'm going to blame you and Tyler for it.
Hey, think about it. You wanted to die anyway. We would just be doing the responsible thing and finally getting SoundCloud to its inevitable endpoint. So really, you should be thanking us.
When did I say I wanted them to die?
You sure sound like you wanted to go away.
No, I'm saying from a business center standpoint, this site will die in time. I don't want it to die, but I'm expecting it to die.
That's what they all say, pal. That's what they all say.
So the death clock is still on there, is just saying.
Yeah.
Unofficially speaking, yes. But yeah, that's basically about all the news. So we just have one last thing to get through, and that is the new album releases for August 18th, 2017. Starting from the top, we have the second studio release from Shoegazer's Cloakroom titled Timewell. We have the newest album from, how the hell are they even still around, KMFDM with Hell Yeah. The newest album from Deathcore at Thy Art is Murder with Dear Desolation. A new album from metal act Eluvetai with Evocation 2 Pantheon. Of course, at least tentatively, there's the new ASAP Ferg album, Still Striving. And last but not least, Porcupine Tree frontman Steven Wilson returning with his latest proper full-length solo album, To the Bone.
Yeah!
Alex is...
I'm excited for it.
He is very clearly excited about it. And so that'll about do it for all the main new shit. So now we got a clean house to get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
The same place as always, Aura of Azure on Twitter, Instagram, BBS, forums, and Carrier Pigeon. Oh, and Reel to Reel Tape.
Dank. Mark, where can they find you?
Of course, on Twitter via Mac2HyperMedia and on my site, The Mind of Hyper One at thehyperone.wordpress.com. And yes, as before, the last two stories will be coming this Friday. Well, you know, every Friday until September 1st, the final one will drop there. So yeah, keep watch on that.
Killer. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Barracuda, Instagram as well. If you have any music-related questions, inquiries, or, you know, possible opportunities regarding the Decibel Boost podcast, email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, or if you just want to tell me I suck for making fun of something you like, in which case, sorry. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel. Just search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you'll always notify whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can find online, www.surrealresolution.com. Follow on Twitter at SurrealRezo. And we're on Facebook now. Just search Surreal Resolution, give us a like, and be sure to flip on to see all notifications so that way we don't slip through the fingers of the Zuck. Of course, while you're on the site, listen to our past episodes as well as all of our other great podcasts. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. And if you like anime, check out Podcast ONA.
New episode Saturday, talking about Otakon.
And I swear to God, you better mention the Junji Ito stuff this time.
Okay, I will.
Better.
Remember, I'm every other week.
Yeah, but still. Dude, when that news first broke out, even before we had a cast and crew, you said nothing. Nothing.
I don't know that much about it, okay?
Wow, you're...
That's why I have the other people for, to fill me in.
You're very disappointing as a weeaboo, man. You don't know your Ito. I have to tell you this stuff, man. But whatever.
Do I have to slap the bitch off of your face?
Do I have to slap the uneducated weeb out of your mind? But we're going on a tangent.
I'm gonna play your drums tonight.
You better not. Don't you fucking dare.
I'm coming.
But we're going on a tangent at this point, so also be sure to check out a lot of our great written articles. I'll actually have a review of that Cloakroom album sometime this week, so it'll probably be up like a day after you're listening to this, which it's a solid album. You know, if you're into shoegaze like the band Nothing, you'll probably like it perfectly fine. I had some fun with it. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat, and of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week's episode of Decibel Boost, so until next time, seriously, Resident Evil 7 is fucking creepy as shit.